With you tonight, and appreciate being here, and I'm very thankful for the service this morning, and good to meet several of you folks. Please don't ask me to repeat all of your names. There's Anna Snowball's chance in Hades. I'm going to do that. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, and just want to read three verses out of Hebrews 11 tonight for our hearing. Beginning in verse number 11, read down through verse number 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning in verse number 11. And if you're physically able, would you honor the Word of God tonight and stand together? And we'll read from the Bible tonight. If you follow along silently as I read aloud, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of him and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your blessings from it. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministry here. And Lord, I'm so very excited and rejoiced with these four precious souls that were saved tonight, and likewise the two that follow you in believer's baptism. I pray, please bless each of their lives, that they grow spiritually and do your will for their lives. We just pray your power tonight, Lord, the very best I know how. I yield myself to you. I pray you'd come now with power, speak to each and every heart. We pray your will and way be done. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. And I'm going to get into the message very, very shortly. But I do want to say how I was raised in Sulphur, Louisiana. There was a preacher friend of mine said this several years ago. Sulphur is exactly 17 miles from the Sabine River, which means it's 17 miles from the Texas line down in our part of the country. And so he told me, he said, you're from Sulphur, you might as well be Texas. I have some family that live nearby here. I have a sister that lives over in Prosper, Texas, and she and her husband, and then I have a cousin that lives in Richardson, Texas, and bless his heart, he's my age. He's 6 months younger than I am, so he's still 54 years old, and he has newborn twins. 54 years old. He just got married like 3 years ago for the first time, and I've got grandkids older than his kids. And you snooze, you lose. Amen. But I'm going to do my best not to be too long tonight. I do have a history, or I have a reputation for going long. I'll put it that way. I didn't come up with it. Somebody else did.
Yeah. Hey, man, preach, brother.
And so we find here in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you have if you've never read the book of Hebrews through, I'd love to encourage you to do so. There's Amen. So much doctrine in the book of Hebrews. My favorite book in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the book of John. My second favorite book would be the book of Hebrews. Amen. I've taught from it chapter by chapter in Sunday school at least once or twice, and there's so much doctrine in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and Abraham is rightly spoken of oftentimes as we look there in Hebrews 11, because his great characteristic was his faith. Yep. And we oftentimes talk about or preach on the faith of Moses, even the faith of Noah, the faith of Enoch, along with several other great heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, but how often I believe most of us skip over Sarah's faith. Uh-huh. We read there in verse number 11, notice very closely, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Notice this carefully, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Man. Church, there is There is so much in this one verse, and if you're like me, we've probably looked over them. Some great things I believe could help our own faith and even change our lives. First of all, for the message tonight, I want to begin with just a very short word study. First of all, the word faith. We oftentimes use it, obviously, especially in Bible-believing churches, because the Bible does say we're saved by grace through faith.
Yep.
Not by feeling, not by emotion, but by faith.
Man.
Faith, it means a conviction of a truth. Okay, it comes from the root word to persuade or to trust, to have confidence, to be confident in, to believe. The Bible says through faith, Sarah herself received strength that she did not have as a 90-year-old woman.
Yep.
to conceive and to bear a child. She received physical strength and the power to do so through faith, which is taking God at His word. We'll look at that in just a little bit, another passage of Scripture. But she received that strength and believed God that He was going to do exactly what He said to do through faith. The Bible does say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Though it was not recorded in Scripture for Sarah to read, she heard it from the spoken word of God.
Yep.
Faith is grounded on the word of God.
Yep.
Okay? So it says, because she judged him faithful that believed. Now the word judged. The word judged means to think so, to count, to esteem. Noah Webster says faith, or I should say judged, means to determine, to be tried judiciously. Now, remember, we're talking about how Sarah judged God. Now, please don't think this in a negative connotation. It was a very positive connotation because her judgment was based upon her faith.
Yeah.
Okay? She's not judging God in a bad way, in a negative way, but in the proper way according to truth. Next we read, she judged the Lord to be faithful. All right? The word faithful simply means concerning the persons of who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business.
Yep.
Someone who is worthy of trust. Church, God is worthy of our trust.
Yep.
Okay, He is that can be relied upon. Let me ask you a question. Does this sound like our judgment of the God of heaven? Okay. Now, we must take the whole verse at face value. Sarah received supernatural physical strength to conceive seed and to give birth to a child at 90 because she judged God to be faithful. Now I wonder, could that or would that be said of us tonight? Okay? Faith is to take God at His word and to take obedient action because of that faith. Faith is when God's word is enough. Just as a great faith of the centurion we read about in Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read several verses quickly tonight if you want to join me there in Luke 11 and verse number 2. And we'll read about one of the instances where Jesus commented on a great faith. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 2, I'll begin reading as you're turning there for sake of time. Luke 7, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die." A centurion was not a natural born Jew. Okay, he was a Roman soldier, over 100 soldiers. Verse 3, "When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he," talking about the centurion, "he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion's sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." Notice this, "but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And when they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, when I read this, I have a deep desire to want the Lord to be pleased with my faith that I exhibit to Him.
Yep.
All right? Now, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Yep.
Now, it is Jesus who said that this display of faith was greater than he had seen of the Jews. Okay? This centurion tells the Lord he both knows how it is to have someone in authority over him and have someone under authority under him, and basically saying, when I say this, I know what it is to have for my word to be carried out. And he's just simply said to Jesus, just like when somebody in authority over me says to me to do something, I do it. And you have authority over everything.
Yeah.
And he says, say in a word and my servant shall be healed. What's he saying? Lord, if you say it, I believe it, and that's all there is.
Amen.
Okay? Faith is taking God at his word. Now, folks, listen. I believe tonight that there's one thing. You know, we talk about faith, but do we really have faith? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is God's word enough for us to obey? All right? Now, I heard a fellow say this, a fellow that led me to the Lord back 35 years ago. Is that right? No, we got married 33 years ago. He said, it's time to start, pardon me, time to stop looking for the signs, it's time to start listening for the sounds.
Amen.
Talking about Jesus coming.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, I'm not against signs. I'm not against experiences. All right? All of us have had good experiences, some good and some bad ones. But understand this. I don't have to have an experience to take God at his word.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay? I don't need a vision. I've got a verse.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Now, faith is when God's word is enough. And Sarah exercised her faith in saying, listen, this is a strange thing. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to say more about this later. Is it not a strange thing for a 90-year-old woman to have her first child?
Yep.
You said, well, that was a long time ago. You know how old a 90-year-old woman was 4,000 years ago? Just as old as a 90-year-old woman is today.
Yep.
Okay? You said, well, they lived to be over 900 years old. That was before the flood.
Yes, sir.
It's many years after the flood. Okay?
Yep.
So, you know, and where I'm not being disrespectful to Sarah, as I would not be to any other, if there was a 90-year-old person here, I don't think there is. We have a 90-year-old woman in our church in Marrero. She hasn't come in a while. But, you know, there's no other way of saying it. She's old. Okay?
Yeah.
And I promise you this. What's her? Sybil? If Sybil got pregnant, everybody would be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a strange thing. It's an unusual thing. Is it not an extraordinary thing for a 90-year-old woman to have her first child?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what happened to Sarah. Okay? Now, how would we judge God when it comes to judging God by faith, when that faith is based upon the Word of God? You know, when it comes to faith, God, or the centurion, is giving us, as I said, a Bible definition for what our faith as a child of God ought to be when God's Word is enough. This is that which is the factor for Abel to offer a more excellent sacrifice to God than Cain. Now understand this. You know, most of you know that Moses is a man that God used to write or put on pen and paper the first five books of the Bible. That includes Genesis. All right. Yes, that was before Moses was born. Okay. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is based upon the Word of God. For Abel to exercise faith to offer a more excellent sacrifice, it must be based on the Word of God. No, it was not God's written word. It was God's spoken word.
Yep.
You say, well, we don't read about that, but we have a Bible principle. Faith is still based on the Word of God. And so God taught Abraham, Adam and Eve, about the excellent sacrifice. God taught, I believe, Abel and Cain to offer a more excellent sacrifice. Abel did so by faith based upon God's Word. Cain exercised his own opinion and said, well, I believe I can please God more by what? My works.
Uh-huh.
What I can grow to the fruit of the ground. And guess what? Didn't work for Cain. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for you.
Right.
Okay? A sacrifice. Faith in Enoch's life. The Bible says, for by faith Enoch walked with God. By faith Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. And we read many verses about Abraham's faith. But let's not leave out Sarah's faith. Because by faith she judged God to be faithful. How would one begin to judge God if we're going to judge him rightly? First of all, I believe we must begin by judging God according to his unique attributes, right? Amen. The Bible does say we should be holy as God is holy, yep. But there's three attributes that you and I are not going to shake a stick at. His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His omniscience. Okay? The Bible says He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful.
Amen.
Hey, I got news for you. Listen. The devil is more powerful than you and me, but he can't shake a stick at God.
Amen.
Okay? He's all-powerful.
Yep.
All right? He is omnipotent, almighty God. What are some truths concerning God being omnipotent? Let me read some verses tonight and let the Word of God teach us about this. The Bible says this in Job chapter 4, 42, verse number 2. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And Psalm 62, verse 11, we read this verse early this morning. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God.
Yep.
Psalm 115, verse number 3. By our God, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Regardless of what the White House says, regardless of what Iraq says, God has done what He pleased.
Yep.
Whatsoever that the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. In Matthew 19, verse number 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men that this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Yep.
Jeremiah 32, 17, I, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee.
Amen.
Amen.
By the way, I got to give you a commercial. It's been several years ago. I did a question and answer service at our church, and I had made this statement from the pulpit. I said, folks, listen, don't bother me with this question that somebody made up. Is God able to make a rock so big He cannot move? Okay. Guess what the first written down question was during that question and answer service? Can God make a rock so big He cannot move? And I didn't call anybody names. I didn't ask for a show of hands who did it. I said Jeremiah 32:17. I, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. I said, just put that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay. Okay, commercial's over. 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 12. These are the words of King David, very, very late in his life, just about to go to heaven. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, we understand this, that God created the world in six literal 24-hour days.
Amen.
He spoke the world into existence.
Yep.
Bible teaches us He divided the Red Sea, enabling Israel to cross over on dry ground.
Yep.
Okay, I don't remember where it was or when it was that I heard this. I think it was somebody commenting in a negative way on what he had heard somebody trying to teach in a seminary. He said that the Bible, so-called Bible professor taught the Bible students there that God really didn't divide the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground. They walked over at a narrow place on the Red Sea and they walked over in ankle-deep water at low tide. When I heard that, I said, you know, if that's how Israel crossed over, then I got a greater miracle than God dividing the Red Sea. 600 chariot servants all died in ankle-deep water.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Come on.
You know, the Bible does say that the water was a wall under the right and a wall under the left. Does it not say that?
Amen.
Okay. That means God said exactly what He meant, and He meant exactly what He said.
Yep.
God divided the Red Sea, and they walked over on dry ground. Listen, He saved our souls when we put our faith and trust in Him. He changed our lives. He lifted up out of the miry clay, as Psalm 40 said, set our feet on a solid rock and established our goings. The Bible says for Sarah to begin to judge the Lord to be faithful when it comes to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having their first child together, she's got to begin by judging the Lord that He is able.
Yep.
Hey, listen, what is it that we're having struggle with? God's able.
Amen.
All right. What is it that we have questions about? Understand this. Your God is able.
Yep.
Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Yep.
Have you ever been around? I was. Where were we? I think we had a. Do y'all eat crawfish up here? Anybody ever had boiled crawfish?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, y'all need to come down to South Louisiana. Okay, we'll teach you how to eat.
Yeah.
Amen. We were at a crawfish boil, and they had some junior middle school, junior high's girls, I'm not against you if you're a junior high age girl, but I'm looking over across a set of tables and they're laughing and they're so giddy. They're laughing at, I mean, just being silly. But, you know, have you ever recognized that junior high age children have some imaginations?
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
You and I have some imaginations, am I right?
Yeah.
The Bible says He is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? It means God is able. So as Sarah, by faith, judges the Lord, she had to judge Him, first of all, by His omnipotence.
Yep.
Now, and then there's also His omnipresence, and we can go into long detail about that. But number two, He is omniscient. That means He knows all. That's just not words. He knows all. Okay?
Amen.
I believe this is bigger than most of us would think. Can we remember what Sarah's action or what Sarah's first reaction was when she was told, when she heard the voice of the angels that came to Abraham saying that she was going to have a child? Let me just read it for you. Genesis 18, verse number 10, Bible says, "And he said," this is the angel speaking to Abraham, "he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Remember, at this time she's already 90 years old. Okay. Now Sarah and Abraham were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She physically ceased to be capable of bearing a child. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Surely shall I have a surety bear a child which am old?" Now, I don't know what our reaction would have been had one of you men been Abraham and your wife was Sarah. But the Bible says Sarah's first reaction was, she said, "There ain't no way."
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible says she laughed. She said, "That ain't going to happen."
Yep.
Abraham, go back and talk to him again. Let's be real about this. Okay? Now, yes, I'm putting words there, but just think with me. If she'd be saying it like you and I would be thinking about today, she'd say, "There ain't no way." I mean, the National Enquirer never came up with anything like this. It's never going to happen. The Bible says she laughed. I don't know what our reaction would have been, but the Bible says she judged God to be faithful. She began to understand that this is God she's dealing with. And she realizes He's not only able, but He also knows how to bring it to pass.
Amen. Good.
The Lord chose to write to us in Hebrews 11 about Sarah's faith, the faith that she later had, and to judge the Lord the right way by faith, not only all-powerful, but knowing how. Listen to this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse number 1, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." That includes when we're driving in traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
"Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high; I cannot attain unto it. One whose faith is written by the word of the Lord in his own, in his great hall of faith, started out with the mindset of saying, 'There's no way.' But she says, 'God's faithful.'"
Amen.
He is able and He knows how.
Yep.
When she judged God to be faithful with her faith's voice, I don't know how God's going to do this, but He said it would happen, and I know He's able, and I know He knows how. Now folks, listen, you and I are never going to be, or most likely never going to be faced with something like this, but I promise this, we're going to be faced with some problems, and we're going to ask our question, how is God going to get us out of this?
Yep.
How is God going to deliver us from this? How, you know, we may be saying that about America today.
Yeah.
How is God going to deliver us from this? By the way, God knows how, and He is able.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying it's not important for us to vote for the right person. You can vote for the Cruz of your choice. Okay? But I'm not saying it's not important for us to vote for the right person. But I am saying whoever's in the White House come next November is not nearly as important as, first of all, who is in God's house and the God of those who is in God's house.
Amen.
Amen.
He is omnipotent and He's omniscient. Now, church, this is how you and I ought to live our lives today, judging God by our faith and dependence upon Him.
Yep.
When we look at the shape of our country, when we look at the sin-sick world, would we not say with the psalmist, "But our God is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He pleased." Now, to get into the gist of the message tonight, if you and I join Sarah and judge God to be faithful, based upon His omnipotence, based upon His omniscience, and add to that His unconditional love, add into that His matchless grace, add into that His past miracles and His blessings upon His people. Number one, if we judge God to be faithful, we will judge His Word.
Amen.
To be faithful.
Yes, sir.
If I judge God properly, I've got to judge God's Word properly. Understand this. You cannot judge God the wrong way and not God judge God's Word the wrong way. And the vice versa is the same thing.
Yep.
You cannot judge God's Word in the wrong way and not judge God in the wrong way.
Yes,
does not the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Right.
Listen, that's more than just black words on white paper. That's exactly what the Bible says.
Yep.
In the beginning was the Word. That means the Word. You know, that means Revelation 22:21 was penned in heaven before Genesis 1:1 was penned on the earth.
Uh-huh.
The Word of God is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no ending. That's a wonderful thing.
Right.
If we're going to live our lives by faith, our lives, our decisions, our actions must be based upon the Word of God. As I said earlier, faith is when God's Word is enough.
Yep.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes I believe believers judge or pass judgment on the Word of God in an unfaithful manner. As I said, I cannot judge God's Word in the wrong way or say, "I just can't see that. I just don't believe that." We're saying, "God, I don't believe you."
Uh-huh. That's right.
So I would never say that. That's exactly what we're saying when we pass judgment on the Word of God.
Yep.
Okay? Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse number 18. "For verily I say unto you," listen to it, "till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled."
Amen.
The word jot is the Hebrew word for yod, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The word tittle is the Hebrew letters were written with small points or apices, which serve to distinguish one letter from another. In other words, you have the same letter and you have a little tittle across there this way or that way, and it changes the letter. All right? It's the smallest mark in the Hebrew alphabet. So what is God saying? What is Jesus saying? He said, the smallest letter or the smallest jot or the smallest mark in the Hebrew alphabet, none of them are going to change. Not only not one word, but not one jot or tittle. Okay? That means we not only have word for word inspiration and preservation, we have jot and tittle inspiration and preservation.
Yep.
Understand this. The same God that gave Genesis to Moses way back 4,000 years ago is the same God who preserved it for us to have today, the very words of God.
Yep.
No, it is not a new revelation. It is a inspiration of the divine revelation.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It is God who said in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever." Now,
amen.
I've done some study on the different versions. I can sit here and I can spend the next 45 minutes to an hour telling you of the changes that have been made. Understand this. In order for them to come out with a new version and get a copyright on it. By the way, you look in the King James, if you see something copyrighted, it's not the text, it's the notes.
Uh-huh.
But the text is copyrighted in the NIV.
That's right.
The text is copyrighted in the Living Bible. By the way, which was never intended to be Bible in the first place. It was a paraphrase of the Bible. It's a very bad paraphrase.
Uh-huh.
But for a new version to be put in print, there has to be a minimum of 1,000 changes.
That's good. That's right.
Understand this. How many of you remember when you were in high school? Well, you have to go back further than that. In elementary school, okay? Because high school teachers never put A+ perfect paper, very good, and a star. Did y'all ever get stars on your paper? Okay? I remember when I was in the third grade, the first time my dad was a high, not high school, but he was a principal, and the very first time I had all A's, I was in the third grade, I had all A's and a C in handwriting. My favorite teacher became my least favorite teacher. I said, couldn't you have fudged a little bit on handwriting? Give me to make all A's? Anyway, remember when you got a perfect paper on test score, and she said, or he wrote, perfect paper. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but if you change something that is already perfect, you cannot do anything but alter its perfection.
That's right.
And you heard the preacher say this morning, things that are different are not the same.
That's right.
Okay, if you're a man sitting next to a woman, look at the person next to you, recognize, we're different. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Hey, the Bible says, you know, and I've done some studying on, and I've read a book that, what's Bill Grady's book? Final Authority? Final Authority, I mean, it's not exhaustive, but it exhausts you to read it.
Yeah.
And there's so much study on where, not only where the King James came from, but where the Greek and Hebrew text came from, that it was penned in the English language back in 16, first of all in 1607 and then 1611. But I've studied some about what is called the Vaticanus. I've studied about the Sinaiticus. I've studied about the Textus Receptus. I've studied about and read some history about Westcott and Hort. Understand this. Westcott and Hort were funny.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they were.
Yep.
They were also involved in demonic worship.
That's right.
You said, what are you talking about, the Westcott and Hort? It is the Greek version that the NIV came from.
Uh-huh.
Why are you getting all that? I don't know, it's not written down. I just thought I'd give it to you.
Amen.
But understand this. Things that are different are not the same.
That's right.
Amen.
You cannot change something that is perfect and it still be perfect. All you can make it, all you can do with something that is perfect is make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
You understand this? Good people make mistakes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay? Well-intending people make mistakes. And folks, listen, you cannot perfect what God says, it's my word and it's perfect. And that's exactly what we have. And the Bible says, thou shalt preserve them, O Lord, from this generation forever. God's word is preserved.
Amen.
Word for word from Genesis to Revelation perfectly for us in the English language in the King James.
Amen.
Bible.
Yep.
My son and the school staff, church staff, I don't know who it was, got together, and this is my ordination Bible, and the old cover was worn out and they had it rebound, and they had something embossed in the front. That's my signature. I signed my own Bible. And anyway, he heard me say this before. I don't have a King James version. I have the King James Bible.
That's right. It's not a version.
Okay? You know, and all these other versions, when they contradict with what God has preserved, when they contradict, you know, if God is right and you and I say something different, guess what? God's still right and we're wrong.
That's right.
So if I judge God rightly, I'm going to judge His Word rightly.
Yep.
And you know, there's some things you and I are going to read,
yep,
and good people are going to read in the Word of God, and we're going to look at the and say, well, I just don't understand that.
Uh-huh. Right.
But guess what? Because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of you heard a lawyer talk?
Yeah.
How many of you have ever went to a doctor and heard him or her talk about these some medical terms, and you say, could you translate that in English and tell me where I can understand so I can know what in the world is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Am I right? Now, because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not true. What I do understand is God's good.
Yeah.
And I do understand that God is perfect, and therefore His Word is perfect.
Amen.
If we judge the Lord properly and judge His Word properly, there's a second thing, and I think this is most important. We're also going to judge His way of life, or the Christian life, perfectly.
Amen.
By the way, someone says, I was thinking about this, I don't know, somewhere throughout the day, I was out soul winning with a friend of mine, one of our men at church, and we would alternate. And you know, he would talk at one door, I would talk at the next door, and so forth. And it was his turn. And we're talking to a fella. I'm guessing this fella had to have been in his late 70s, early 80s. And he was very, very skeptical. And it was Bob's turn to talk. And he basically said this. He said, "You cannot prove to me that the Bible is real. You cannot prove to me that Jesus is real. And Brother Bob said something about the resurrection. He said, you also cannot prove that he ever rose again. And I just simply did what I told them never to do. I spoke up. I said, how about an empty tomb?
Uh-huh.
Why'd you bring that up? Because God did exactly what he said he did. He arose, amen?
That's right. Amen.
But someone says today, how do you know that the Bible is true? Listen, I know the Bible is true because it's been proven.
Yep. Amen.
I know the Bible is true because I've watched, because first of all, God is true, and I've also watched and examined the lives both of those who say the Bible is wrong and the ones who say the Bible is right.
Yep, that's right.
But I also have some personal proof.
That's right.
33 years ago, I accepted Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
And God did exactly what he said he'd do. He came in and saved me. He said, how do you know he saved me? Hey, he saved you because his word says so.
Uh-huh.
But he also did more. Hey, listen, when I got saved, God moved in.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
And God changed my life. My family, I was raised in religion, but I was not raised. I was 21 years old when I got saved. And my family, some of my family were there's a lady. My mother passed away, a year ago in January, I believe it was. And there's another lady that was friends with my mom and dad. And the first thing it's years and years ago, between me seeing her, and I went back home several months ago. And the first thing she says to me, said, boy, you were such a bad boy. Nothing about me being a Baptist preacher, nothing about me being a pastor of a New Testament Baptist church for over 25 years. You are such a bad boy. Well, God bless you, Anna Mae. Good to see you too. But my family was praying for me to change. I got saved.
Amen.
And guess what?
Yep.
I changed.
Amen.
Guess what they said? They said, man, we were praying for Craig to change, but not that much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What am I saying? I'm simply saying, when God said he saves us and changes our lives, listen, God changed my life.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't because of any desire that I had in my life before or after salvation. That's because God moved in.
Yep.
Let me give you a perfect example of God moving in. My wife and I, lived down on Menard, on the end of Menard Road. Her maiden name is Menard. And when we got married, three months before we got married, we bought a mobile home and put it on an acre that ended up becoming ours. But I moved into this mobile home before we got married. She was living in her mom and dad's house. I was living in the mobile home. And she would come over, God bless her heart, she'd come over and would start. She was already doing the cooking, already doing, I guess she started doing the cleaning already, right? She was doing all the cooking and the cleaning. But on June 28th, 1980, we got married. And guess what? She moved in.
Uh-huh.
And regardless of the fact that she was doing the cleaning before, when a lady moves in a single man's house, guess what? Things change.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You're going to tell me that a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner is saved and God moves in and nothing changes?
Come on. Come on.
Folks, when God moves in, something changes.
Yes, sir.
And listen, you cannot dispute a changed life. You also cannot dispute clear-cut answers to prayer.
Yep.
The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse number 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God says, ask and you shall receive. I've asked and I've received, not telling anybody else of things that I needed, and God answered prayer. You cannot dispute that.
Nope.
I've got God's word on it. And listen, I know God is true and I know his word is true.
Amen.
But when it comes to judging God properly, judging his word properly, you cannot but judge God's way of life or the Christian life.
That's right.
Properly.
Yep.
Hey, listen, can I say this? Christianity is worthy of our obedience.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it
Amen.
More abundantly.
Yep.
Listen, the abundant life is not just words, it's real.
Yep.
It's a Christian way of life when we simply take God at his word and obey it.
Yep.
I'm talking about living for God. I'm talking about being in church. I'm talking about being faithful to God. Listen, God's been faithful to us. How can we not be faithful to God?
Amen.
Understand this, believer, God's worthy.
Yep.
Yes, he is. Four times we have in the scriptures, in the book of Habakkuk, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and in the book of Hebrews, the just shall live
yep.
by faith.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. And as I said before, faith is when God's word is enough for us to believe and to trust and depend upon Him and expect great things from Him and act upon His word, living by faith. We should not be afraid of those words to live by faith. That's living by trusting God's word, trusting that He's able, trusting that He's faithful, and trusting that God knows how. And we won't be afraid to live by faith if we'll do as Sarah did and judge the Lord of heaven properly to be faithful. Because if I live by feeling and my life is based on how I feel, I might live for God today. And if I have a bad day tomorrow, I might stop living for God.
Yeah, that's right.
How many of you recognize this and realize this? Feelings change.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And you understand this, and women, don't throw anything at me, but women are very emotional.
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Take care like this, fellas.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
And amen. And ladies, this is amen in sign language, okay?
Yeah.
Women are emotional.
Amen.
Women's, you know, Brother Howes used to say this. I went to school under Brother Howes back in when Shep was a pup. When did I go? 1987, back in the late 80s. In 1990, I graduated. He used to say this. I don't know if he originated with it or John Rice originated with it. He said, a woman is the only creature on earth that can tell her husband today, I love you, 5 minutes later say I hate you, and mean both times with all the emotion she has. Now, listen, salvation can, or I should say, as far as living the Christian life, if I'm living by faith, it cannot be based upon my emotions, because my emotions change. Hey, the weather changes. Sometimes our emotion changes. Hey, circumstances change.
Yes, sir.
Hey, am I not right when I say this? Sometimes people are rotten to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, if our living by faith is based upon how we're treated, guess how long we're going to live the Christian life? Not very long.
Yeah.
But when it's based upon the Word of God,
yeah,
when it's based upon God's faithfulness to us.
Yeah,
listen, Jesus did not stop short of going all the way up to Calvary.
Yep. That's right.
Aren't you glad that when the Roman soldiers mocked at Him and scoffed at Him and said, come down from the cross and we'll believe you? No, they wouldn't have.
Nope, right.
He didn't come down.
Amen.
Guess what? He could have.
That's right.
Why did He stay on the cross? Because if He comes down from the cross, we're lost forever.
That's right. Amen.
But when we live by faith, it is based upon the Word of God. And that means the results are up to God. And God has proven Himself to be faithful. God has proven Himself to be loving and just and absolutely true. As I said before, Jesus said this, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hey, believer, that sounds the best way to live to me.
Amen.
I've got to be done tonight. There's so much more I'd like to say, but the Bible says, through faith, also Sarah herself judged God to be faithful who had promised. Don't do the Lord an injustice tonight and let people or circumstances or mistakes that we or others have made, that hurt us, cause you to judge the Lord wrongfully or unfaithfully, and therefore judge His word unfaithfully or unworthy, or judge the Christian way of life unfaithfully. Listen, regardless of how long you've been saved, you're going to recognize that people make mistakes.
Yeah.
But understand this. Christianity is not based upon Christians. It's based upon Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
No Christian gave his life for you to pay your sin debt. No Christian said, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But Jesus did.
Yes, sir.
Understand this. He will never fail you.
Amen.
No one has ever lived their life and lived their life on earth and left this earth and saying, boy, I wish I wouldn't live with God so much.
Nope.
But how many people we know or we can speculate have said, boy, I wish I'd have served God more.
Right.
Am I right?
Yep.
So how can we know that we won't have to say that, live for God today?
Amen.
And keep on.
Yep.
Amen. Would you bow your heads, please?
Amen.
I'm going to pray and then I'll turn it over to the pastor tonight. Our Father, we do love you, Lord. Thank you so much for Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you so much for all the great heroes of the faith that we can read about and study about in your word. And Lord, thank you also of the heroes of the history of Christianity, those that we can read about in secular books, those whose lives are just simply heroes of the faith. And Lord, thank you that we can put ourselves in Sarah's shoes and realize there's some things that we may look at and say, I just can't figure out how. But Lord, if we'll do like Sarah did and judge you to be faithful, judge you properly, we cannot but judge your word to be faithful and your word to be true and the Christian way of life, the best way of life to live. I pray you'll help us to do it tonight. I pray you'll help us to take all these words and these truths tonight, apply it to our own hearts and lives, and Lord, help us to be like Sarah and judge you to be faithful. We ask your blessing. We pray you'd help us tonight. Give us understanding, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.